Hey, Dreamers, this is Omar Zinholm from the $100 MBA Show, reminding you to keep on dreaming and keep on listening to the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey Dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Ani Alexander, who is making her dreams come true through being an author and a podcaster. Glad to have you on the show, Ani.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. What country are you in right now?
Well, I'm living in Armenia, and I'm originally from there.
So yes, there's what, like an 8-hour time difference, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you could be here so late.
No, it's okay.
Why don't you start by giving some background about yourself?
Well, I was born in Armenia and I lived here until I was 11 years old. After that, due to my parents' jobs, we traveled a lot. So from 11 years old until 20 years old, we haven't been living in Armenia. I ended up living and studying in 5 different countries. And after that, after my graduation from the university, I came back to Armenia. I followed different careers since I studied business in general, business and entrepreneurship. So I started from banking, went to development projects. I've been in telecom and marketing. So I've tried all that to understand at some point that it's not for me. And it took me about 12 years to do that. During all those years, I've been writing on and off in different formats. So when I was a teenager, I started writing poems. In the university, I've been the chief editor of the newspaper. After that, I started a blog. Then I was writing flash fiction and short stories. And after I made the big decision to quit my corporate job and follow my dream and passion, I wrote 2 novels since then in the period of about 1 year.
Wow. That's an awful lot of decisions in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, but sometimes you come to the point when you are so fed up that you have to make drastic changes. And also when you are not too young, you end up thinking that, you know, if you don't do it now, you might have the risk of not being able doing it anymore later on. So I had to do it.
Yeah, I've been there. It's one of the things that led me to the show. So what would you say writing means to you?
Well, I'd say that it's my calling. And during all those years when I wasn't really serious about that, I thought that it was just my hobby. But it periodically came back to me in different forms. And it was like, you know, reminding me of itself. And it was telling that, you know, I shouldn't ignore it that much. And after a while, I kind of embraced it and accepted the fact that it's an essential part of my life, that I'm going to do it regardless whether my books will be selling or not, regardless whether, you know, I will become a published author or not. So it's just part of me actually now.
And what would you say inspires you?
Well, what inspires me most is creating a difference in people's life when they are reading your books. So it can be from feeling something while they are reading your book to transporting them to a completely different place and time, and, you know, being having books which kind of make them escape the reality and get some different reality they will be in. So it's just making a difference and having an impact with the writing on people's lives, and especially people's who you don't know. So it's really amazing to be connected on that level with people from different countries whom you've never met.
Yeah, I mean, with this podcast, I get to connect with people from a country that I barely ever hear about, let alone could probably even point out on a map, as embarrassing that is, as that is to admit.
Well, I'm used to it, so don't worry. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's a joke there about pointing out where the United States is.
Well, somewhere. No, it's fine. Everyone here can do that. So
I know it's pretty big on the map.
Yeah.
No, it's just getting to connect with other people has been really a magical part of this show, and I'm so happy that I've been fortunate enough for it to work out. To me, and I'm sure it is for you, is it's the carrot in front of you, you know, inspiring other people and having people connect with you, and not just being inspired, but like I said, connecting with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did writing come about for you?
Actually, it went very smooth. The novel itself, the very first novel which I wrote, was the first long piece, because before my first novel, I never wrote anything which was longer than 3 to 4 pages. So for me, like, you know, completing a novel was huge. I never thought I could write something that long. But it kind of came to me. I mean, we talk about coincidences in life, but I believe that things, you know, happen for a reason. And just when I had left my job and decided to just, you know, do things that I love, I met through Facebook one very old friend from abroad, from the times when I was studying abroad at high school. And we hadn't have connection for about more than 10 years. So she ended up telling me her life story during those 10 years. And it was just, you know, she was telling me and I was imagining a film just, you know, happening just in front of my eyes. And I told her, you know, this is amazing. You should write a book about that. And she said, well, I don't have that talent. I can, you know, just give it as a gift, my life story to you, and do it with it, whatever you want. You can change it. You can leave it the way it is. You know, if you want to create a book out of it, it's yours. That's how the idea of writing a novel came, because before that, I would never think about writing anything that large. So I started writing it. While I was writing it, since it didn't happen personally to me, I was, you know, wondering about different things, and I was getting connected to her and asking questions and, you know, trying to see what she felt exactly, what happened exactly. I was digging the details, etc. And then I was sending her different pieces so she could read as well. So basically, although I wrote the book, but she played like a really major role in that. And what the book did to her, when I'm telling about impacting people, I mean, my major success with this book, apart from the fact that it became number one bestseller on Amazon in different categories, was that she had a very dramatic event in her life. And by reading that book, she kind of finally was able to put everything behind and move on. So that was, I guess, the biggest achievement with this novel.
That is an incredible achievement. I mean, that's an achievement that may have never even happened to do. And it's all thanks to the evil empire Facebook. So...
Yeah,
so thanks, Facebook.
And it's amazing because, I mean, in the very beginning, no one thought that it would happen. First of all, we just spoke, so we weren't really, we didn't know whether I will write the book until the end and will complete it, first of all. Second, we never knew, you know, what kind of impact it will have at the end. And, you know, it just happened quite fast. I wrote the first draft as a NaNoWriMo project, which is the National Novel Writing Month in November. So I had 50,000 words written in 30 days, and the first draft was ready then.
Wow, that's an amazing turnaround time.
Yeah.
How was it received by your family when you told them that you were quitting your job to pursue writing?
When I was thinking about quitting my job, I didn't yet know for sure what I was going to do. So it was just a process of self-realization and of, you know, thinking too much. But what I knew for sure was that I was in a place in the corporate world that it was really influencing and very negatively my whole life. So it was just, you know, for about 3 years, I was in involved in a big telecom brand, which was just launching in our country. So I was hired before the big launch, 6 months before that, which meant that we were working for about almost 16 hours per day. And when I was coming home, I didn't have time for my family because all we could do is, you know, just have a late dinner together. And then I was in front of the laptop again until 2, 3 a.m. And it affected very badly both my family and my personal life, and I was tired most of the time, and at some point I had a slight depression. So everything was around the corporate job, which I didn't like, so I felt trapped. And at the same time, I felt like, you know, of course I was getting some income. I was feeling a bit guilty about throwing it all away and just, you know, depending on my husband, who was very supportive and still is. And he said that no problem, I will support you financially and our family. Just, you know, make a decision yourself. I will support whatever you decide. So that was like the biggest push for me, knowing that, you know, I had a choice, because for the long months, I was thinking that there was no choice. I'm trapped. I either have to find another job or I should, you know, hang around there until I come up with different means online of making money. So once that burden was off my shoulders, I decided that before I come up with a real final plan of what I'm doing next, I just need some time doing nothing, just getting off that place, just, you know, having an empty space in my mind and trying to understand what I want. And that's when the writing kind of, you know, pushed back again and took the larger part of my life. So it happened almost together at the same time. But when I was quitting, I didn't really have a specific plan about what I was going to do.
Okay, well, that walks into the next question, which is, okay, you quit. Okay, now what? What steps did you take to, like, get yourself started? Which, I mean, it sounds really crazy, right? Like, you're quitting a job, you don't have any idea what your next anything is. And I've been there, so I know. It takes a special kind of crazy. But at the same time, you know, you burn the boats when you just get to a new, you know, a new island or a new country. So you have to make do with what you got. There is no going back.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, there was always the option of finding another job, which I didn't consider because I decided that since I've already made this huge step and it was a difficult decision to make, you know, I would try to do my best and not give up. And only if I'm absolutely sure that nothing is going to happen and I can't do anything else, only then I might consider going back to corporate. So what I did was strengthen my health. So I got out of the depression. I had some rest. I finally got decent sleep. I spent maximum time with my family and especially with my son. Once I was already in the stable balanced situation, that's when more or less that was the time I met my friend. So it was like 2-3 months after I quit, I started writing that book. And when I wrote that book and I decided to self-publish it on Amazon, I realized that this can be the route to follow because it became a bestseller. It was selling. I was, for the first time in my life, I was receiving an income, as we say in Armenian, if you translate it literally, out of nowhere. Of course, it wasn't out of nowhere, but, you know, that's how people perceive it. If it's a passive income, it's out of nowhere. You know, no matter how many difficult days you had writing the book, it doesn't matter. It's out of nowhere. I realized that this is something which a person can pursue, and that actually, for the first time in my life, I realized that actually, you know, doing what you love and making money out of it is not a fiction. So it's real and it happens. And if it's possible, then, you know, I should concentrate on doing that. And what I was thinking also, I realized that, of course, by just writing fiction books and selling them, you can't really, you know, get an income full time. So I was also having different freelance writing gigs from time to time. But what I also realized was that there are many, many people who are in my shoes. I was lucky because I was now out of job. So I had lots of time to, read, to learn new things, to find out about self-publishing and book marketing. And, I learned the long way and the hard way of spending many, many hours, researching, finding people, asking questions, trying things which didn't work, and then finally getting some things which worked, etc. So I realized that there are many people now who dream to become writers and who have full-time jobs, who don't have this privilege of having a husband who will support them. So they can't really just, make this big step because they have mortgage loan and they have kids, etc. But they would like to try it out. So I decided that besides my fiction writing, I will also try to help those people, tell them everything I've learned in a more comprehensive and easy way. So the first step of that big vision, let's say, of helping as many newbie writers as possible was launching my podcast for writers, which I did on the 1st of July. So since the 1st of July, I have a podcast called Write to Be Read, where I'm interviewing mainly writers, but not only, also people who have any kind of involvement in self-publishing. So maybe it can be a service providing company which can help the newbie writers, or I interviewed the Authorgraph developer, the guy who made the electronic signature. So now you can actually sign your Kindle books for your readers and things like that. So what I'm covering is I'm encouraging and inspiring writers by showing them success stories of real people who were in their shoes just a few years ago, and they share how they got there and they share their experiences. And also I'm trying to get different tools which will help them, and also I share my personal tips which I used with my personal books.
That's how we actually met, was because of your podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's another mean of getting your message out. And since, reading books is a bit more time consuming and, not everyone likes doing that, I think podcast is more, it's like easier and faster way of consuming information, especially if you're too busy and you're on a run all the time. It's like, the perfect format to listen to it while you are driving to work or coming back and while you're jogging. So it's like taking into account that most of them are busy people because they work full time, plus they try to follow their passion and they write in their spare time. They don't really have too many hours listening to things or reading things. So I'm just trying to make it like as valuable as possible.
Yeah, I mean, even with this show, I found that I have less time to consume as much as I'm creating.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous thing to do because you need to bring in those inspirations that are similar to what you're doing, even though I find a lot of inspiration from music and outside things that aren't like what I'm doing. But, mm-hmm. At the same time, it's like you need to see what other people are doing, not to be similar, but sometimes to be different from them. Sometimes without even knowing it. So I think that's great.
It's just a field you are in already. So you just have to at least know the minimum of what's going on there. Just, not to get too much behind, or, at least to know what's happening around. I think, that's time is always a problem for everyone, even for people who don't specifically work full time. But I personally, now I'm doing most probably more things than when I was working full time.
Yeah, it does tend to be that way. You just got to be leery of, you don't want to listen more than you actually wind up doing.
Yeah, actually what I'm doing personally, I just listen to the things I would listen if I didn't have a podcast. So it's just, you know, I'm yet another podcast consumer in that sense. So it's not like, you know, I'm trying to listen to the things which are of my direct competitors to see what they are doing. I mean, of course, I do that, but not that much. So basically, I listen it just for my personal benefit. And I listen to the things which I would listen to even if I personally didn't have a podcast.
So what are the biggest roadblocks you've hit?
Well, I'm a very impatient person, so not seeing immediate results is very discouraging for me. And those were the things that, you know, have seeing like low traffic statistics and, you know, not getting comments, not having enough engagement from your listeners or readers, it can be quite discouraging. Besides that, for example, I'm the only podcast producer in Armenia. And in Armenia, very few people know what podcast is in general. So I end up, you know, mainly getting support and encouragement from people online who are like, you know, 8-hour to 14-hour difference from me. And those are like the biggest problems because, you know, your friends can't really encourage you too much when they don't even understand or realize what you're doing. So you can end up saying, oh, you know, I hit 12,000 downloads for the podcast. And they look at you and they say, is this good? Is this bad? You know, they don't really imagine what it is. So you end up sometimes feeling lonely in these processes, and the writing itself is quite a lonely process too. So those times, they're sometimes problematic. But, you know, on the other hand, when you wake up and you receive a really nice email from a reader or from a listener, which says that, you know, it really helped me out, etc., etc., then, you know, it kind of balances out all the drawbacks.
You know, I can't echo that enough. I mean, it's a shame, too, because you have a whole country of people that have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I have neighbors, they're all retired around me, and they're like, a pod what? I've never heard anybody ever say that word to me until you mentioned it. And what are you doing? Like, how is this going to go get a job, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like the easiest advice you're getting most of the time. And like, you know, okay, aren't you tired already? Don't you really miss the job? You know, wouldn't you like to get one, etc.? But, you know, the answer has been no for now.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. And, you know, it's great that you've been able to connect with people online, because if we didn't have the internet, I don't know about necessarily the internet, but like the social aspect of the internet, you know, you wouldn't have that support.
Well, I wouldn't even know myself what podcast is in the first place. So, you know, I wouldn't know that you can write a book and just, you know, self-publish yourself without spending money. Also, so, you know, internet is just, you know, it brought the whole, most of the opportunities I've got and most of the things I'm doing, they are directly connected and they are thanks to internet. Because I found out, like, from scratch, I learned everything by internet and on different websites. So it's just, you know, if it didn't exist, I would most probably still be working somewhere.
So what's been the biggest disappointment so far?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really been disappointed, you know, especially big disappointments I haven't had yet, or I've missed those, I don't know. Or maybe I just didn't concentrate on those that much. It's just, you know, I'm now waiting for a traditional publisher contract. So I'm like comparing the self-publishing and traditional publishing, trying to see the differences on my own experience. So I have three books, three of them were self-published, and now two of them will be traditionally published and one will stay self-published. So I can, you know, parallel compare and also provide some feedback about how it goes. So not disappointment, but I was really surprised what a huge difference in terms of timings do those two different routes take. So, I mean, traditional publishing is so slow. it's just, it takes forever. Every single stage of the thing takes forever. While with, you know, with self-publishing and with Amazon, you can have your book. I mean, if you have the text ready, you can just, you know, have literally your book in a few hours already on sale on the website. So it's just, you know, that this was the thing that I realized, that most probably these two routes have a completely different speed, and the traditional one is getting really, really behind these days.
Well, congratulations on getting published.
Thank you.
Is it with a Armenian publisher?
No, it's an international publisher with headquarters in Spain, and they are buying my two books with the rights for two languages, the original English one, because I write in English, actually. So the original English one and the translation of those into Spanish. So they will be selling it in Spain and in the US as a second wave. So we will be starting, they are being translated right now. So they will start with the Spanish books in Spain, and then as a second wave of the launch, they will get to the United States.
Oh, wow. Even more congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your childhood dream?
Well, I had a boy's dream. I wanted to become an astronaut and, you know, fly to the moon. So it wasn't really a typical female dream, but, you know, that's what I wanted when I was a small child. And like, that's the very first memory I have of dreaming of something. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you were shooting for the stars even then, so...
Yeah, well, who knows, maybe one day.
Hopefully. I'm hoping. So could you share a favorite memory from your writing so far?
Favorite? Well, I it's not like exactly one memory, but I really like those. They are very rare, but sometimes I'm getting these feelings, something inside me, like a feeling which I'm getting, which I know that if it comes, it means that I can write something exceptional. And that is the moment I shouldn't miss at all. So those, like, you know, I can go and start typing, for example, for just half an hour. And it feels like someone else is writing it, because you don't, when I'm starting writing that piece, for example, and it's usually for shorter pieces, because it's like something that comes out and then finishes immediately. So it can be like a very short story. So when I'm starting, I just start with one sentence and then it flows, and I don't even know when and how I will finish it. So it's just like some, I don't know, some superficial thing which comes to me. And those are the best pieces I've written so far. No matter, I mean, I have a very short story which is still published on Paulo Coelho's blog, because he liked it, and it's like about 200 or 250 word piece, like a very short flash fiction story. And I wrote it like about 7-8 years ago, but I still think that it's one of the best pieces, and that's how I've written it when it came. So it's just, you know, those are the best experiences of writing when I'm getting. They are very unpredictable. They're extremely uncontrollable. So it's not something, I don't really give credit to me about this, because I don't really have a feeling that it's me who's doing that. But those are like the best ones.
Isn't that a little scary?
Well, it might be. Well, it was scarier before, to be honest, because when I was much younger, when I was writing only poems, I was around 15, 16 years old, I was waking up at night because of that feeling. And I was writing the poem very fast, and I was, you know, getting back to sleep. And in the morning, I wasn't even remembering, like, that, you know, what I've written. This is really good. How did I do that? So, you know, now it's not that scary anymore, because first of all, I got used to it. And second, unfortunately, it happens less frequently than when I was much younger. So, yeah, that's how it is now.
Well, I was talking about more along the lines of, you know, I need to write a book. You know, I don't know what I'm going to write this book or this story or this poem about. We're just gonna wing it, and the words are just going to come through me, to take a quote.
Well, I mean, that's why I mentioned it happens with the smaller pieces. If you're writing a novel, you know, that's more about self-discipline. That's more about writing every day. You know, it's less impulsive thing. you know, longer pieces need more structure. They need, you know, more thought about the things. And, you know, I don't think that you can write a novel like that during the whole period. You may end up writing just, you know, a page or two, like a small scene out of the novel like that, but not a longer one.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
The biggest dream at this point is to be able to continue doing what I love and eventually having the opportunity of making full-time income from it. So you get the freedom of, having the opportunity of doing solely and exceptionally only what you love doing. So, you know, on the long run, I would like, you know, making money from helping newbie writers and from writing fiction. So if I can do only that, I will be more than happy.
You know, I've never mentioned this before, at least I don't think I have, but you know, the word freedom, you know, again, to borrow a quote, is really made up of two words, free and dumb, which is very close to doom. And I just, you know, I was just thinking in my mind, you know, I was out in LA in August and my wife mentioned, oh man, wouldn't it be cool to be like an actor and you just like walk around? Like we were on the set of the Warner Brothers set, like their backlot tour. And I'm like, you know, yeah, it sounds really cool. Like it would be cool to like do it for like a week or something. But then you have deadlines. And it very rapidly goes from being this very like, oh, cool, look at this interesting, cool stuff we made to like, hey, we need to do this like today. And, you know, oh, wouldn't it be cool to like build sets? Like, yeah, until you're on deadlines and the stuff's got to get done like yesterday, even though they just told you about it today. Stuff like that. It very quickly can become, I don't want to say a job, but I don't know. All of this is just, it can be very encapsulating.
Well, I had that experience actually before I, concentrated on what I'm doing now. I had a self-development blog, which I really liked and it was doing quite okay, but I got tired of it. And I think, I mean, at least my theory is that it's because it wasn't really my passion and calling. It was something I enjoyed doing, but it wasn't something I was really passionate about, or you know, I could live around that thing. So eventually at some point when I didn't see the results I was expecting, I preferred to give it up, because I realized that, you know, it's not really something I would like to do for the rest of my life. And I'm really happy that I did that, because it was one of the things that, you know, there are things you have to give up in order to empty space for the other things which have to come. And once I gave up, I at that point, I mean, I don't know if everyone passes those stages, but once you realize what you don't want, you end up thinking about different things you might want. And sometimes you're stuck because you do simultaneously several different things, which are not really connected to each other. And at the end, you end up having average results from each of those. So what I'm doing, I realized that I needed more focus, and I needed to do things around one thing. And that one thing should be something that I would like to do for long run. And even if it's with deadlines, and even if it's something, I mean, for example, I'm very often, because of the time difference, I'm waking, I'm not waking up, I'm just not sleeping until then, but I'm doing interviews at 2 or 3 a.m. Just because, I mean, I'm getting really big names who agreed to be interviewed. And, you know, it's just something you need to do. And, I mean, I'm not really whining about that, because it's, I mean, podcasting in general is something I truly enjoy doing. And also it's part of the big vision of helping writers and, you know, the big thing that I, like the mission I would like to complete. So it's just, you know, once you know what you're doing this for, and once that why is, you know, part of you and, you know, your calling, I don't think you end up feeling it being a job.
I don't think I could have said that any more beautifully. Of course, that's all easier said than done to figure that out.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, I too have, like, you know, this morning I woke up, I had a 2 a.m. interview, so I went to bed around 3:30 or something like that. So, and in the morning, my son had to go to school and my husband was going to work, so I woke up early with them. And I felt like, you know, and you end up saying, what did I do this for? And then you remind yourself what and why, and then it's like, okay, you know, it's fine, you know, it was just one day, it doesn't happen every day, so it's fine.
Yeah, I definitely had those times, especially early on with the show, working on the website till well into the night, and then having to wake up for a 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning interview.
Yeah,
for somebody who's on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it happens, but you know, it's just part of the process. And I don't know. I mean, for example, a few days ago, I received an email from a newbie writer who wrote me that he had a tough day and things didn't work that well and he was a bit discouraged and he needed some inspiration. And, you know, it wasn't one of those best days. And he decided to put on and listen to few episodes. And after that, he felt recharged and, you know, he started writing and he realized that although it's difficult, but it's something he enjoys doing and it was just a bad day and it will be gone. So he emailed me to thank me for those episodes. So, you know, if you receive this kind of email in the morning, then, you know, no matter what you did at night, you realize that it was worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Been there.
Yeah.
Love getting the feedback from audience. So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
You know, I tell this not only to writers, but to everyone. You know, giving up is the easiest thing. But, you know, 99 out of 100 will most probably give up at the first barrier or obstacle on their way to their success. And that's why not everyone succeeds, because just one person is willing to do what the others are not willing to do in order to get there. So, you know, don't give up.
Yeah, you're right. Don't give up. You gotta keep trying and keep going. And if it doesn't work, find another route, because there's always another way to make it come true. So would you like to plug your websites and how people can connect with you and your podcast and all your books again?
Well, I decided to have just, you know, everything available on my website. So people, when they visit my website, they can get the links to the podcast, to all my social media presence accounts and things like, and the books and everything. So if they visit www.anialexander.com, they can get pretty much everything they need to know. And, you know, everything I do is under that hub.
Awesome. Well, I'll have that link on the show notes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Not a problem. I would love to have you on the show again in like 6 months to a year and follow up and see how you've been doing.
Okay. No problem. I hope, you know, I will have bigger things to tell you about.
Oh, come on. You have plenty of big things to talk about. I mean, we have plenty in common too. I mean, both crazy, both leaving our jobs, trying to make it on our own and make it all happen. So plenty to talk about. Well, thank you very much, Ani, for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me over. You know, it's really nice experience, you know, getting to know other people's audiences as well.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.